Thank you. Thank you very much. And good morning to everybody again. Thanks for coming out so early. Today we're going to share what our experience in Houston and how we enhanced and access to STD clinical services during a syphilis outbreak. And in line with the convention theme of ethnography and access to healthcare, this is something that we did. In doing so, we were able to expand healthcare access to a population that was affected during the outbreak. In Houston, the Houston Health Department utilized mobile clinics routinely to provide clinical STD, STI clinical services in populations that are disenfranchised, populations that are at risk, that don't traditionally use the health department traditional clinical hours. So we send a mobile clinic out, a team out, and to go into areas where people frequent, where people, venues where high-risk populations frequent to provide clinical services. This is a science-based intervention that's based on some of the Centers for Disease Control evidence-based intervention activities. Basically, our mobile clinic is a case-related screening initiative where we base these ventures and events going on to the community on the cases where we identify syphilis and HIV cases. So today we're going to discuss how we were able to expand clinical services during the outbreak, the syphilis outbreak in Houston, and to provide clinical services to that population that was impacted. And I don't have any disclosure to present today, no relationships to disclose, I should say. Basically, in the backdrop of providing the clinical services, I'm going to talk about the outbreak and what was going on at the time, and then Lita and Nature will talk about the clinical services that we were able to bring. In any outbreak, and particularly in syphilis outbreaks, CDC encourages local jurisdictions to define and to actually work to determine the outbreaks, particularly in the area of syphilis themselves. This isn't anything that you've probably seen recently in the case of Ebola, which is a big nationwide alert thing. When you talk about syphilis outbreaks and outbreaks of these nature, it's pretty much a local health department with some advice and some direction from the state and CDC on that. But Houston Department of Health and Human Services has developed a nationally recognized model for reacting and responding to syphilis outbreaks response. Back in the late 1990s and 2000s, year 2000, we became a part of the Syphilis Elimination Project at CDC, and then during that time, we developed our nationally recognized syphilis outbreak response plan, which basically outlines the components of the plan, which clinical services and nursing services is one of the key components, which we'll talk about and show you later. But in the outbreak of primary and secondary syphilis in Texas itself, during the year 2000, we had several, particularly in our metropolitan areas and some of the outlying areas, that were impacted by the syphilis epidemic. In Houston, Harris County, as you can see where the star is located, is also impacted, where we had at least between 4 to 9.9 cases per 100,000, which at that point is headed toward outbreak levels. And then looking at the outbreak of primary and secondary syphilis in Houston, looking at the case and looking at the epidemic itself, we determined that this epidemic was being driven by MSM, men who have sex with men. As we looked in the year leading up to the year 2012, where we experienced the outbreak, we looked at the percentage of cases. This is a demonstration of the percentage of cases that were MSM. From between 2011 and 2012, we noticed like 43% of all cases that were diagnosed in primary and secondary syphilis were MSM, compared to 52% in the year 2012. The remaining 26% were other male cases, and then only 22% of those were female cases. So clearly it was the majority of the primary and secondary syphilis cases that we were seeing were among the MSM population. Some of the things that triggered our response that was going on at the time was a 97% increase in primary and secondary syphilis cases from the previous year, 2011. 39% of the cases that we were reporting at the time were co-infected with HIV, 39% of the primary and secondary syphilis cases. 75% of the male cases identified as men were identified as men who had sex with men. And 28% of the cases indicated that they met their partners over the Internet, which also proved to be a challenge to us as people are meeting their partners through social networking sites, which is different from our traditional way of, you know, people meeting partners. They get more information and address. They're able to tell us where we could possibly find individuals more so than going on a social networking site and not really knowing whether the person's address or anything really about that individual, because the meeting is happening over the internet and not much information is being shared. So that in itself also presented some challenges to us. And again, lastly, the 33% of the cases admitted to frequenting bars and clubs that were in Houston congregated in one area called the Montrose area, which is a conglomeration of MSM bars and clubs that we knew we probably sometimes in the epidemic would have to target. Again, I go back to some of the key components of a syphilis outbreak response that we have in our outbreak response plans: enhanced surveillance. This is basically just going out and identifying where the cases are. This information is telling us which population is being impacted and where we're seeing the cases. Field operations, which is basically our clinical DIS staff, disease intervention specialists, who are responsible for interviewing clients who are infected with syphilis and doing partner notification and contact tracing. Clinical services, which we will highlight today, of course, provide those clinical diagnostic and treatment services to individuals who are at risk and individuals who are diagnosed with syphilis and their sex partners. Laboratory services are critical because you want to have a very effective way of diagnosing, a very quickly way of diagnosing syphilis during an outbreak. So we were able to implement several new strategies in testing, including rapid TPPA testing and rapid RPR testing, as well as rapid HIV testing. Community mobilization is the focal point of how we use the mobile clinic. Herein lies the activities where we get involved with the community, the target population. We have to know the gatekeepers. We really have to develop a strong relationship with the MSM population to be able to get into that population and to assist as to know what areas we need to test in. So that was a key component area also. And then administrative and programs, key area. Mainly due to the fact that, you know, we all know that during these times, the last years, we've had budget cuts and resources have been very limited. So in Houston, what we do during these efforts like this, it's a team effort. It's not just the STD program or the Bureau of HIV STD Prevention. It's a departmental effort where we pool together clinical services, nursing services, and our director, at his expense, he brings in the total team to address the issue. And that's one of the key ways that we're successful in addressing syphilis outbreak, because, you know, many programs don't have the resources to be able to pool together. I mean, it costs a lot of money to keep clinics open during late hours, to hire staff to come in, temporary staff to come in and work outbreaks. So to have that pooling of resources is very critical. It's been very critical to us in Houston. And then the media. We were very effective in doing media presentations. These were presentations on TV, radio, newspapers, some national levels, but we talked to individuals and got the information out to the general public about what was going on with the outbreak, the syphilis outbreak. Again, we're just kind of highlighting some of the activities on surveillance where you present data and information, conducting private medical providers visits where our surveillance team is going out and talking to private medical providers and letting them know what's going on with syphilis and the increases and outbreak in Houston right now. And these are the activities that we need to do as far as treatment, expanding treatment, particularly to the MSM population. Those providers that provide medical care to the MSM population definitely were targeted during the outbreak so that they can be aware of signs and symptoms and treatment modalities to provide to the clients. The clinical component, what we did, we expanded clinical hours, as I just mentioned. This involved actually expanding clinical hours at our traditional freestanding clinics, as well as our mobile clinic, which I explained earlier, where we expanded hours into some of the non-traditional times. Freestanding clinics, we moved to expand hours to Mondays, for 3 hours on Mondays, as well as some Saturdays. And then some of the protocols that we use in the clinic are abbreviated exams. Instead of using our traditional exam, which would take a little bit longer, we develop abbreviated exam protocol, as well as fast-track service activities and other protocols that foster treatment for the MSM population. In the field operations section, the DIS were also given enhanced quality assurance activities and working with their supervisors and program management. And then the DIS also supported the clinical service on the clinic side as far as clinical hours and the assistance there. One of the things that we noticed in the outbreak in the laboratory area is that we did, as I said, mentioned before, we did increase and provide some of the new laboratory testing like TPPA and rapid RPRs, but we normally do those, but we just expanded those activities as well as dog field testing. During the time, we noticed an increase in the number of positive tests from the normal. Normally, we would notice like anywhere between 5 to 7% positive for syphilis cases in our STD clinics. During the outbreak, we were noticing at our three main STD clinics percentage increases that were significantly higher. Sharpstown Clinic was 17%, Northside 15%, and Sunnyside Clinic 9%, all above the norm that we would see. And going back to the media, we conducted citywide alerts. We got onto the Texas media network where we alerted all the physicians throughout the state about the epidemic in Houston so that other areas like Dallas and San Antonio who experienced some of similar problems to be aware, and there are people, particularly in the population, that were going back and forth from the cities to different cities. Again, we interviewed with local and national radio systems. You know, there were several interviews with these radio stations and TV stations, as well as newspapers. And we developed and distributed pushcards and information out to the community. And lastly, the community mobilization piece, again, working with those community groups and those particularly the communities that were impacted. And also looking in, we worked with San Francisco. They had done a lot of information with a lot of activities with internet interventions. So we were really trying to look and see how could we be more effective in reaching clients with going using the internet. And so we were able to get some activities started where we were going in with knowing the client's line name, the names that they used when they met other partners, and sending them safe sex messages or messages to contact the health department if they were at risk or had come in contact with someone with syphilis. Again, all in all, we see our community mobilization challenge that we had is really to use a mobile clinic and use these biomedical interventions like the protocol, the treatment protocols, the internet interventions, develop these special protocols to address the increase in syphilis among MSM population. Again, just recapping, we were able to expand clinical hours at our three brick-and-mortar STI clinics, which we opened 3 additional hours on Mondays. And again, on Saturday clinic hours were expanded from at one of our main clinics from hours at 10 o'clock to 2 p.m. And then at the mobile clinic itself, we expanded those hours from Tuesday. Initially, we used Tuesdays through Fridays from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. to ensure that we were reaching, extending our reach out into that targeted population and to be there when they are there, not just when our staff has to work. In the mobile clinic prioritization scheme itself, this is normally what we do even outside of an outbreak. This is how we prioritize and to ensure that we are addressing using science, using latest information, demographical information to be effective. Outbreak response cases are the top priority. When we have an outbreak like we did in Houston in 2012, that's going to take priority so that mobile clinic is going to be used specifically to direct those activities toward those populations that are affected during the outbreak. STI case-related screenings are what we normally do outside of an outbreak situation. We use the evidence-based intervention case-related screenings where we've identified someone who has a syphilis or an HIV infection. We've interviewed that individual. The DIS has collected information from that individual as to the social networks, where they hang out, just detailed information about that social network so that we transmit that information to our nursing and our clinical staff, and that is those are the areas geographically where we're going to target it and go out and look for those cases and do testing, provide clinical services like testing, treatment, and interviewing and counseling, a full service of activities on the mobile clinic. So wherever the mobile clinic is going, it's going to be based on actual case-related screening. You know, you have several outreach components that kind of go on in the world of outreach. You know, and so in the time of limited resources and all, you have to really, use evidence-based to be able to use those resources wisely. And in Houston, we've been doing that for years, and it's really paid off. And we had to use that approach during this outbreak and keep that in mind as we were working. We had to use that approach. a couple of, like I said, outreach screening and then community-based screenings. Of course, you know, you have education and, you know, targeted groups that are not always particularly, maybe not be at risk at this particular point in time, but potentially be at risk. So we also want to provide information, education, and services to those groups. Again, some of the components of case-related screening and data requirements. We require that our disease intervention specialists conduct a thorough interview with clients who are infected with syphilis and HIV to get specific information, because this information is going to be driving where we go. Again, keeping in line with what we're talking about here at the conference, you know, where place, the place that we're going to go and do intervention. During the outbreak, one of the challenges we had to be confronted with is that the MSM population is a diverse population. We noticed cases among MSM, white, black, Hispanic population in different age groups also. But for the most part across the board, the population didn't utilize the traditional brick-and-mortar clinics as much as, I would say, the general population. And so one of the challenges we had was we had ramped up services and we had a lot of resources going on, the expanded hours in the clinics. However, we didn't see the outcome as far as the attendance that we thought we should see to have a real impact on the epidemic. So we had to go back to the drawing board and revamp. And what we did, we looked at the clinic hours. Instead of keeping those expanded clinic hours in the traditional brick-and-mortar clinics, we went ahead and revamped the mobile clinic schedule to include more non-traditional hours of testing, going out instead of the Tuesdays through Fridays. We extended that time period from Wednesdays through Saturdays. And we also added an additional day on Sunday afternoon in that Montrose area in an activity where clients with the population would be out and going from bar to bar, and we would have our mobile clinic out on Sundays providing services. And these activities took some communication, some interaction with the population. We had to go into the Montrose area and talk to the bar owners. We had a summit where we talked about coming over on Sundays and non-traditional hours on Saturday nights and things so that they'll be aware that we were out there. The community-based, we have a network of community-based organizations in our HIV program side of the program that were also actively involved and got involved with getting the word out to the population. They work closely with the MSM population. So all these activities together help us to be able to get into the population and provide services out into the Montrose area during a time, an enhanced time where the clients would be there. So we repositioned the mobile clinic to these specific venues that were frequented by the target population. Again, we revised the hours of operation, as you can see, Wednesdays through Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 1 a.m., and then Sunday, what we call the bar hop happy hour, where clients would be, where the individuals basically just go from bar to bar on Sunday afternoon, and then we would have the mobile clinic out in the area to do testing. So basically, we have a schedule of staffing that was involved with the mobile clinic, the schedule from Thursday through Sundays, pretty much involved either going to the bars, the designated bars, or either on street corners or drop-in centers that were frequented by the MSM population. Also, bars and in the, like I said, the happy hour and the Saturday night screenings, Saturday and Sunday night screenings that we participated in. And the staffing that was involved with the clinic, which Nature is going to talk more about, included nurse practitioner, clinical assistant, microbiologist, as well as a DIS on the mobile unit. Okay, and I'm going to have Nature talk about the staffing.
My name is Nature Brooks. I'm one of the nurse practitioners that work on the mobile unit. A couple of facts about the mobile unit is that it's free of charge to everyone that comes. Our services are confidential, and we make it a point to let the clients know that whatever information that they share with us is confidential because we are asking some very private questions. Clients usually find out about our services through word of mouth, through their private medical doctor, through the community-based organizations, through the City of Houston clinics, or the City of Houston website. A lot of clients come in and they say that they prefer the mobile unit because it's easier to access. medicine that we give out, Bicillin, Ceftriaxone, or Rocephin, the azithromycin is very expensive, especially if they go to their own providers. And they like the fact that when they come to us, it's free. The rapport that the clients and the providers have is well established. We have a lot of clients that come in every 3 months to get tested, and they actually say that they prefer us because they get care in a non-judgmental manner. The mobile unit staff includes a nurse practitioner, a clinical assistant, a microbiologist who does our rapid testing. We have a health educator, and we do have the CBO outreach staff. This is a picture of our mobile unit. It's actually a RV type of clinic that we have. We have individual rooms for each provider to work out of. We do testing for all STIs. We do a RPR. We can do a rapid TPPA if it's needed. The rapid HIV, gonorrhea and chlamydia, is a urine-based NAT test. We do pharyngeal and rectal swabs for gonorrhea. We can do the rapid hepatitis C. We can do herpes cultures, and I do have the ability to do the wet preps if it's needed. We treat for syphilis, gonorrhea and chlamydia, trichomonas, bacterial vaginosis. What happens when a client comes on the mobile unit? They have a registration, some paperwork that they have to fill out. We don't ask for ID or any type of identification, but we do have them fill out the forms. They do a consent for testing, and they have to fill out a risk assessment. They will then proceed to go to the clinic assistant, where she will draw the blood for HIV and RPR. She will have them go to the bathroom to collect the urine sample for gonorrhea and chlamydia. And depending on whether or not the person comes in complaining that they were a contact to someone called them and said that they were exposed to an infection, or they're having symptoms, they are either fast-tracked or they get to see the clinician. A fast track is when they're not having any symptoms, they just saw us, they want to be tested. So they get all of the tests done, they come back within 30 to 45 minutes to get their test results, and then they're exited. Someone is having symptoms or they're high risk, they get to see the nurse practitioner, they get the clinical assessment, they get treatment, and then they get their test results and then they exit. The risk assessment form was something that was established due to our syphilis outbreak response. It is a list of questions that tell us whether or not a person is high risk for getting the infections. It is a little bit difficult to see the type of questions, but some of them is, what websites have you used to meet your sexual partners? Or what phone apps have you used to meet your sexual partners? Because we've noticed that a lot of people who were coming back positive for syphilis will actually use websites or phone apps to meet their sexual partners. We have a clinical medical record. We used to have an extensive 4-page front and back medical assessment form that we used. Because of the SOR, we actually changed it to be more concise, where it's just one page front and back. And it has the treatments that we give, what we treated them for, any diagnosis.
Okay. Some of the results from the activities that Nature and I just discussed, we made some comparisons between what we saw in the freestanding clinics as well in the mobile clinic during the similar time period. And we noticed basically that we're able to test more individuals in the population by using the mobile clinic than we did at the freestanding clinics. When you look at field reports that were initiated, we had 10 versus 35, 10 on the mobile unit, which is fewer because we have smaller capacity, But all of those were related to the epidemic and indicate because of the capacity that we were still in that population. So we don't really look at that as an indicator so much. And then there were 29 treatments for syphilis in the mobile unit versus 32 treatments for syphilis in the freestanding clinics. Again, because of the capacity of one clinic versus the three, we saw that as a success. And some of the information from the SOR, syphilis outbreak, on clinical attendance, indicators like clinical attendance, syphilis tests done, and positive syphilis tests, we looked at the pre-outbreak period, the syphilis outbreak period, and then post-outbreak period. And you can compare some of the information there. What we did notice, we found 11% increase in positivity, syphilis positivity rate during the syphilis outbreak and after the syphilis outbreak. And then more people attended the clinic. We had an increase, 12% increase in clinical attendance on the mobile unit during the SOR period and 42% from the pre-outbreak period to between that and the post-outbreak period. So again, we see that as a success story. By increasing access to care, we did increase clinical attendance in the mobile clinic and services provided. Okay, thank you.